Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Hey parents, Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity, set up chores, and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, your morning pitching podcast from pitcherlist.com. My name is Nick Pollock, and yes, today is April 24th, and we are going to talk about baseball. Oh, yes, we are. Ben Lively, 6.1 innings, 1 earned run, 5 hits, 0 walks, and 7 Ks. My gosh, is this it? Well, no. He gets Atlanta next, and this was against a depleted Red Sox offense. No Devers, no Casas. He's not that great. Like, he had 10 of his 11 whiffs on heaters, and I have to at least give him credit. He was throwing these heaters upstairs effectively. He does get 7 feet of extension. It's not that 7'5 of, like, Bailey Ober, or maybe Bailey Falter, the Baileys, but yeah, I should just call him Ben Lively. Okay, I'm done. Sorry. It's a decently flat four seam. It's like a 1-2, not like a 1-5. These things help it actually do well at the top of the zone, and those four seamers did a great job getting spotted up there, and that's really the reason why this worked out. That's cool. He gets Atlanta next. So Ben Lively, not someone I'm picking up now, someone at least to monitor that if he is sticking around inside this rotation for the Guardians, then maybe there is some way that he can continue to perform at this level against bad opponents. If he keeps those four seamers upstairs, hopefully he gets the old slider that he used to have. The sweeper was fine in the zone, but not like amazing or anything. Okay. Max Fried, complete game shutout. It was the Marlins. Fine. But come on. Complete game shutout. Not everyone has a complete game shutout against the Marlins. Great. Logan Webb, 8 innings, complete game shutout. No, not complete game, but just shutout. Okay. It's great. It's awesome. It's so funny how it's just the same thing every time, with the changes being amazing, the sweepers not being good enough to get more than 4 strikeouts total for Webb. But whatever, the changeup is just so stupid good and consistently down and just out of the zone, and it's amazing. That's awesome. Logan Gilbert against the Rangers came through, got the win, 6.2 innings of 0 earned runs, 2 hits, 4 walks, and 6 Ks. It's one of those cases where, I mean, this happens all the time, where I'm trying to really buy into a guy, and I just can't, and I want to, and I see results that are good, and I'm like, okay, like, I don't want you to do anything, you know? I'm not saying you should sell high on Logan Gilbert. I'm not saying that he's going to be much worse. I'm also going to say, look, I see these things that are typically not conducive to the kind of success that we have, so I look into it more. I try to wrangle with the numbers and watching him pitch and say, like, okay, this is why it's happening. And try to really get an understanding. And sometimes I don't always. And when it's weird, it's weird. And I don't generally love weird, but hey, who cares? He's doing great, and that's awesome. Kevin Gausman against the Royals, 6.2 innings of 0 earned runs. Yay! 7 hits, 1 walk, 2 strikeouts. What? 4 whiffs, 19% CSW. What's going on? 4 out of 51 splitter whiffs. He put 18 of them in play. That is wild. This is not the Gausman. It's been such a strange year for Kevin Gausman. I hope it just kind of gets, whoom, everything is fine. It's May 1st. We talk about that in the offseason, but man, what? It's very strange. Patrick Corbin against the Dodgers, 0 earned runs in 5.1 innings. And no, it wasn't with the cutter or anything like that. And like, sometimes it just happens. Cool. I'm happy for him. Kenta Maeda against the Rays. He came through. And after I said last week, like, yeah, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm done. He looks so bad. Well, he looked better. He did. He was a tick up on fastballs. I think actually 2 ticks up on sliders and sweepers as well. Tick up means 90 miles per hour, not 89. So whatever. However, I do want to mention that Kenta Maeda did locate much better in this one. Like so much better. He's still a cherry bomb at best. And even in this good one of 5 innings, 0 runs, 3 hits, 0 walks, and 5 Ks, he didn't get a win. He only got 5 strikeouts, and fortunately, it was good ratios across 5 innings. Okay, cool. Bailey Falter. Man, he's actually doing the thing, because he's kind of doing the thing. Bailey Falter is someone I've joked about for the past month or so that he should be dealt to the Rays. Why? Because he's like Bailey Ober in massive extension, and he has a four-seamer in this way that could just do well at the top of the zone like Bailey Ober, and the Rays of the team that really understand that and want to lean into it. Okay. Falter went 13 for 60 whiffs on his four seamers. He like really leaned in on it. And his four seamers were in the top half of the zone for the most part, but there were like a lot of more hittable ones. And honestly, if Bailey Ober had the same four seamer locations that Falter had in this, I wouldn't really be that excited. He doesn't have anything else in the secondary department too. Like he doesn't have Ober's changeup. 8 for 12 strikes in the slider is fine, but not a single whiff on it. And like, I'm sorry, one whiff, I should say. Yeah, he gets the Giants next. 14 whiffs, 34% CSW, 7 innings, 1 earned run, 3 hits, 2 walks, 8 strikeouts for Bailey Falter. And I'm not quite convinced yet. I still feel like he should get dealt. But I mean, good for him. He apparently says that him following Jared Jones helps him out against the same team, because they see Jaron Jones as this whole high octane thing, and then Falter is completely different. It's a new look. And maybe there is some truth to that, but I don't know. I'm not ready to fully buy in about Bailey Falter. And any, yeah. I mean, against the Giants, sure, you can do worse. Questionable start. I'll put them there next time. Okay, cool. Ryan Pepiot honestly pitched pretty poorly, but he won 6 innings, 1 earned run, 3 hits, 2 walks, 4 Ks against the Tigers. It was just bad command. Sliders were not well spotted. Changeups, some of them were good, and some of them were like, hey, what's up? It's right here. And and then his fastball was not really well spotted. It was pretty not great. Tommy Henry, he got the win against the Cardinals. And 6 innings, 1 run, 5 hits, 1 walk, 6 Ks. This was his best start of the year. He's had maybe like 2 other starts that were like, hey, this isn't so bad. He also had like something in the spring too. I gave him a terrible nickname of Double Train, because Thomas the Tank Engine had a friend named Henry. If I remember when I was a kid, he's like, I watched that when I was a kid, right? My introduction to George Carlin and Ringo Starr, oddly enough, which is still the funniest thing to me. But they were conductors in Shining Time Station. But Tommy Henry. I think also there's an actress too. I don't know. It was strange. But yeah, Tommy Henry, he's not really someone that you want to go for, especially with Dodgers going next. It's like a typical thing. Everybody is a major leaguer for a reason, and if he's able to command everything well, it's just whatever. Eric Fede against the Twins was my stream pick of the day, because I was like, oh boy, I got nothing here. At least I'll go with Fede, who's a Toby, and it's not the worst matchup. And what do you know? He goes 6 innings, 1 run. 3 hits, 0 walks. Wait, I'm sorry, what is that? Is that 11 strikeouts, 17 whiffs here in a gallows pole? What? Oh, right. It was sinkers, I guess, and got whiffs and called strikes for a 47% CSW. And his cutter and splitter each earned 5 whiffs. And he had their own Blake Snell blueprint of high, you know, Cannibal McSanchez cutters upstairs and splitters down. And, he gets the Rays next. What the heck, right? Just let's just see how this goes. There is an interesting guy for the Brewers, Tobias Myers. And we're going to talk about him after this break.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent, being there day and night, and building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
When it comes to teaching kids and teens about money, practice makes perfect. That's where Greenlight comes in. With a debit card and money app of their own, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. Parents send instant money transfers, create custom chores, and automate allowance, while kids track their spending, set savings goals, and practice money skills they can use today and for life. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Tobias Myers, I didn't know about this guy. He made a start for the Brewers because Wade Miley is hurt. And I wonder if he sticks around because he kind of was good. 5 innings, 1 run, 4 hits, 1 walk, 4 Ks in his MLB debut against the Pirates. And guess what? His 1 run, yeah, that was the first pitch of the game. He threw a 90 mile per hour fastball inside, and McCutchen just took it and deposited it over the left field fence. And that's what you see in MLB debuts. You know that's a fastball first pitch, and if it's going to be grooved in one pitch, one spot, you see a lot of leadoff hitters get aggressive. But here he was after that, 5 innings, 0 runs, 3 hits, 1 walk, and 4 Ks, right? So what I see here is pretty much a Toby, but he's over the top and has massive IVB. We're talking like 19 inches of vert. Remember, if I see 17, I'm like, oh yeah, that's good. 19 is elite, right? And that's cool. So if he goes upstairs as the Blake Snell blueprint with that, has cutters, curves, and sliders, changeups, like he's a kitchen sink guy, but with also that, hey, I can strike you out probably with that four seamer upstairs. That's actually kind of interesting. He does get the Yankees next, so Tobias Myers isn't someone I'm going to go for there, as nothing's actually like electric. This is a Toby, right? But Tobias Myers might be a streaming option in the future if he does stick around this Milwaukee rotation, which, let's be honest, is not exciting. Like, it's Joe Ross is in there right now. You have Colin Ray and Freddie Peralta. Like, Tobias Myers could honestly be a mainstay, and in your 15-teamers, it's something to consider if he does stick around for a bit. You have James Paxton against the Nationals. He's there for a win, and he lasted 4.2 innings. Well, he wasn't going to get a win anyway, Nick. Well, still, doesn't matter. If he can't last 5 innings against the Nationals, and you get 2 whiffs and 1 strikeout, how am I supposed to butter my bread with this? And 8 base runners. Yeah, you're not going to stick around on my fantasy team. Okay? He gets the Jays next. It's 93 on the four-seamer. Didn't really locate everything well, especially the curveball. Yep. We are moving on from James Paxton now. The degradation hath arrived. We got our value. We move on. Andrew Abbott against the Phils. Yes, against the Phils. And now he gets to Texas. So we should not be holding on to Andrew Abbott. Christopher Sanchez just didn't have a good night. His changeup that is always supposed to be the thing for him, about a 50% strike rate. That's not it. He also had 400 runs. So the 3 innings of 1 run. Can understand why he had to throw 74 pitches now. We move on. He's going to get the Angels now. That's going to be great. Jordan Wicks against the Astros finally got a win as he finally, for the first time, lasted at least 5 innings. He hadn't done that the entire season, believe it or not. 6 innings, 2 runs, 5 hits, 0 walks, and 4 strikeouts, 86 pitches here, 11 whiffs. 4-seamer was generally upstairs, and the changeup was generally down. And they did well. And the Astros, are not that strong of an offense. Or sorry, that that are a strong offense. We'll see. He goes to Fenway next. If they are still hurting, I mean, Devers is supposed to actually return, I believe, today to the lineup. So I don't think that we are going to go after Jordan Wicks here. And I feel like I need to see a third pitch wake up while also seeing that command up and down for me to feel like this isn't just a one night birthday party kind of thing. Tanner Houck against the Guardians did not have his best stuff. It just wasn't well spotted like we saw in the complete game shutout. Came through for 6 innings, 200 runs. It was still 8 base runners, so you saw that 133 whip. Not fun. 4 Ks against the Guardians. It's fine. Hopefully we get a win next time. Michael Wacha against the Jays. Terrible command. Like, this was so much in the middle of the plate. This is not the Wacha that we know. Fortunately, we got that, but we get the Tigers next, so we move on. Luis Severino is a Toby because he doesn't really have whip pitches anymore. I'm sorry. The cutters disappear. 3 out of 27 whiffs on the secondaries is 4-seamer. Is not the big overwhelming pitch of old. Glad we got a poor quality start here, but yeah, just treat him like a Toby. It was against the Giants. That's it. Trevor Rogers is someone I think we actually should be interested in. Trevor Rogers went against Atlanta, so we see 5.2 innings of 300 runs, 7 hits, 1 walk, 4 Ks. He was almost there at just 200 runs through 6, and it just fell apart at the end a little bit. But I really like the 4-seamer upstairs and the slider and changeup downstairs. We saw in the previous start, the Blake Snell blueprint that way. He executed it again, even better precision, I would say, with his 4-seamer. And now he's not going to get a top-tier offense. He's going to get the Nationals next. I think this is exactly when you should get in on Trevor Rogers. In fact, I actually just picked him up in one of my leagues just in preparation of that Nationals start. And I don't want to be the one looking at that wire. I think on a lot of wires right now, I have this streaming chart that I do, which is essentially when is it a good time to stream pitchers. And generally by the end of April is when you get the first wave of injuries every year. And then you're starting to get all these managers super aggressive off the wire to replace them, which means the guys that, let's say there weren't those injuries, there still be a lot of streamers available because we see other guys to be interested in, but we just have too many and we can't pick them all up. Now we're getting a lot of the shallow, pool of pitchers on the waiver wire, right? So it's getting harder and harder in the end of April. I think normally around like May 15th, it then resurfaces because you have guys coming back from injury. You also have new guys that have replaced the ones who aren't very good too. And you also have like new interesting things happening as well. So it's going to get better generally in May. But right now is a time like, okay, cool. I don't have many options of like intrigue on the wire. So Trevor Rogers, let's go. Marcus Stroman against the Athletics honestly didn't come through as we want him to. Only 5.1 innings and 300 runs and 8 base runners. But at least he got 9 Ks and he got that win. So great. It's so interesting to see with Stroman that there's always one secondary pitch every time. That is the secondary pitch, right? It's always a sinker. Then is it the cutter? Is it the splitter? Is it the slider? Is it the slurve? Yes, I'm going to say slurve because Savant says it and it bothers me, but whatever. Is it one of those? Well, tonight it was the slider at 9 over 20 whiffs. Sweet. Thank you so much. You got a King Cole, 38% CSW. That's awesome. Oh man, why does it have to be those ratios? Whatever. Griffin Canning against the Orioles. Honestly, PL Bot chose Canning against the Orioles. And props to PL Bot because he got a win. Yes, it's because Grayson Rodriguez was terrible. We'll talk about that in a moment. 5 innings, 300 runs, 5 hits, 2 walks, 4 Ks. And Canning did pitch well. Like, 4-seam was right at the top of the zone and didn't make mistakes in the zone, which is a huge deal for him. And his secondaries generally weren't as hittable. It wasn't, it was more around the edges. It wasn't this like, okay, cool, I need to get my slider over now. Here's my changeup. Like, this was a better version of Griffin Canning. That's nice. I don't know if you're going to be able to do it much more. But at least that is a good thing to see for Canning. And I think it's still cherry bomb-esque for me that I'm not really interested. And with the Phillies next, I'm not going to go after that. But maybe after for the Guardians if that's lining up that way. Pablo Lopez let us down. If you listen to The Craft last week, you're going to hear me and Eno talk about Pablo Lopez. And I'm pretty much brush it aside saying, look, it's just fastball command. He'll be fine. He went against the Tigers and he got away with it last time. This time it was the White Sox, and this was weird because he had no secondaries. And it was just fastballs all around the zone, just trying to get through. Like, not even having his changeup. The changeup is always there. It wasn't here. 4 innings, 300 runs, 4 hits, 2 walks, 6 Ks against the Cry Sox. What? So strange. it's so atypical for Lopez, and yeah, I mean, there is some worry that something is affecting him, but I feel like it's just, I don't know, he just hasn't found his rhythm yet. It's like a tiara. I haven't used that term all year. Turn it around right away is what Lopez is. I'm not concerned. I think like it's just going to be one start and we're great. And the fact that it wasn't his fastball before and now it's something else is like fastball came back more in this one. So I feel as if it's all moving in the right direction, making some adjustments, figuring out this one and so on and so forth. Instead of just, oh, he doesn't have this thing and that's bad. Right? That's much better for me. Paul Blackburn against the Yankees. Yeah, he's a Toby. And I will say at least he did allow 4 runs in the first and then fixed it. It was 5 innings shutout after, right? So there's something to be said about that, but he's a Toby on a low win team. That's all. Dane Dunning against the Mariners didn't come through. 16 whiffs. That's cool. And I think he earned 4 whiffs on 3 pitches and 3 on another. Like, that's kind of cool. But he made too many mistakes against the Mariners. Like, too many pitches way in the middle of the zone. And like, okay, so 4-point winnings of 4 runs for Dane Dunning. But 7Ks, at least he salvaged that. Yeah. I mean, it's not really something I always want to chase here. Not with Dane Dunning. It's a win opportunity against bad offenses, which didn't come through here, right? Opportunity, not luck. Ryan Feltner against the Padres and Duel Cole Story Bro. Michael King in cores. Oh, man. Yeah, he just didn't have good command here. And the thing is, he was looking great for like 3 starts after that terrible first one. But this isn't it. So it goes, 15 whiffs at least. And it is interesting to see 11 base runners and 15 whiffs. That essentially means that when guys are swinging, they're either completely missing it or they are hitting it not just in play, but hits, right? So a few outs in play on the hits, a few foul balls, only 10, I think, in this one total, and also 3 walks despite all those whiffs. It's a very strange, little middle ground here start for Michael King. Oh, like the typical, oh yeah, cool, earning outs or called strikes and stuff, right? JP France against the Cubs didn't do well, 5 innings, 5 earned runs against the Cubs. He's throwing, I think, a new changeup, which could be a splitter or just a harder version, because it's like 4 ticks higher, but less break because of it. But I think it might be because of the velocity. I think it might be a splitter. I don't know. Not good enough. That's all. So he didn't locate well, and that's that. Steven Matz didn't do well against Arizona, and I really don't encourage you guys to chase Steven Matz. And then there's Grayson Rodriguez. Hey, what's up, Grayson? Not good. I watched all of it. He got singled out a ton, but he also didn't command everything perfectly well. Like, a lot of the secondaries over the middle of the plate got hit by the Angels. There were fastballs that got jammed shots into right field, stuff like that. And that's how it always works. It's never just everything is terrible unless you're Hunter Brown. But like with Grayson, it was the opportunity for it to go poorly and it went poorly, right? And props to the Angels for actually doing well. We don't really list them as a good enough offense to get 11 hits and 700 runs against Grayson. But there were times, like, there wasn't a bat against Trout that was so good with his fastball. It's like, that is what you need to be all the time. And, but yeah, he wasn't here. He also had a good one against Sano, where it was 3 beautiful sliders exactly right against Sano, because that's what you need to do against him. But then everything in between was just like, yeah, not great. I'm not worried long term here. Looking forward to tomorrow's games, because if you want an update on today's games, you listen to yesterday's podcast or on the site. The only different change it for today's Bryce Wilson going for Pittsburgh, and whatever, that's fine. For the Brewers against Pittsburgh, because Freddy Peralta is going tomorrow, not today. And so looking at tomorrow's starts, it's Freddy Peralta, Zach Wheeler, Luis Castillo, Cole Reagans. Yes, let's go. Let's get that redemption start. Yoshinobu Yamamoto, Bailey Ober, Nestor Cortez, Jose Berrios. You're starting all those guys. The only contentious one there would be Jose Berrios, as Cortez gets the Athletics and Bailey Ober gets the White Sox. And Berrios gets the Royals. He's just been on such a tear that, like, you just go with it and you don't think about it, right? And you can arguably say the same thing about Brian Bello, who leads off the probable start tier, but he just doesn't have the same track record as Berrios, as Bello gets the Guardians. Justin Verlander against the Cubs, there's no Bellinger. And the fact that Verlander, yeah, it's going to be good ratios, you should expect, and hopefully the whiffs and strikeouts return. Questionable start to you have Tristan McKenzie, who has a torn ligament in his elbow. But it's the Red Sox who will not have Casas. So maybe that does work out for you. It's questionable. I don't really want to do it. And I don't like any of these, of course. It's questionable. Andrew Heaney's our stream pick of the day because he did execute the Blake Snell blueprint against against Atlanta. And that would have been decent if it was not Atlanta. And this is the Mariners, who aren't as good, especially with secondaries down. They're not. They're very, very susceptible. Most teams are, but more so I think the Mariners are. Well, Mitch Keller is a cherry bomb against the Brewers. You have Mackenzie Gore, who I do like, but it is against the Dodgers. And why does it have to be the Dodgers? Javier Assad against the Astros. Also, he's a Vargas rule. The Astros, I think, are still above average as an offense, so don't want to do that one. Michael Soroka is at the top of the do not start list because it's Michael Soroka, even though it's the Twins and we just saw Fetty do well. Like, Soroka's still figuring all that out. Randy Vasquez in Colorado. I know the lineup is worse and all, but it's still Randy Vasquez. Dakota Hudson's on the other side. Maybe he gets enough ground balls. Also, actually, it isn't in Colorado. I need to correct this. This is in Mexico, which honestly is fine to like replace Coors with Mexico. So we're like, they're both super elevation. Doesn't really matter. Nick Martinez and Alex Wood rounded out as Martinez gets the fills and Alex Wood against the Yankees. Obviously do not start there. That is it for today. Thank you all so much for checking out the Plus Pitch podcast. And as always, for rating and reviewing these on the Apple podcast feeds. I cannot express enough. If you're watching on playback right now, if you're listening to this as a podcast, that is the best thing you can do for us. Thank you so much for doing that. Giving us support. We've been doing this for, man, I've been podcasting since 2016, which is absolutely bonkers. And to be listeners throughout that time is just such an amazing thing. Thank you all so much for helping us be what we are. And of course, I am so excited for what's ahead for Pitcherless, not just this year, but 3-5 years. We are making moves internally, and I'll be able to announce some of that stuff more later this year as we see the fruits of that labor. I'm so excited about it, but if you want us to be able to continue to improve and be that company, the little things are what matter, which is like those ratings and reviews on iTunes, showing up for the playback stream, etc. So thank you all so much for that. Really, we're just, I really want to make that company for everybody. So that is it. Thank you all so much for listening. My name is Nick Pollock. May your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
When it comes to teaching kids and teens about money, practice makes perfect. That's where Greenlight comes in. With a debit card and money app of their own, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. Parents send instant money transfers, create custom chores, and automate allowance, while kids track their spending, set savings goals, and practice money skills they can use today and for life. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.